Now, and I'm going to preach again in May, and I'm going to visit you when James and Sam are officially part of the church. So I feel I'm getting to know you. I had a really lovely chat with Glenda's family this week, and what's really interesting is that I'm already seeing sort of signs of God doing interesting stuff. So Glenda's son, who doesn't come to church, hasn't been to church ever, he was asking me all these questions about faith. I'm like, and I'm praying that he'll become a Christian quickly, soon, because he had all these questions, he had a real hunger. So it just reminds me of the hunger for God that there is out there, and that actually we have the answers because we know who God is. But today I want to talk about faith. That's, if you look at the two passages I chose for today, it's all about faith. And we'll have my PowerPoint up there, and I want to talk about building faith. I really enjoy good epic stories, good epic movies. I've rewatched Lord of the Rings during the Christmas time, and that's important. I've been talking too much about Lord of the Rings. I'm like, okay, you have to stop talking about Lord of the Rings. So I'm not going to talk about Lord of the Rings. But there's another epic story which was a bit more controversial back in the day when it was written, but it's Harry Potter. I really enjoy Harry Potter. I actually have a little Lego set, which I built with my kids, of the castle of Harry Potter. And what I like about Harry Potter is that it just, even though like a lot of it is probably not the most Christian thing to do, but it gives us a perspective of a reality that's different to a reality that there is. There's suddenly magic in the world, and suddenly everything that they thought they knew about the world changes when it's suddenly a new factor, which is the magic, which can do stuff that you can't do in the natural, that you couldn't naturally do. And what I'd like us to think about today is there more to the world than what we see? Can we sort of put on our Harry Potter wand or his Harry Potter lenses and try to see the world in a different way to what we've seen it or to what we see it generally? Because I think by default we just go into a very secular way of seeing the world, as if God doesn't exist, as if he has no power, as if there's nothing he can do. And I think we just, because we're part of our culture, our society, we just get sucked into that world, and we start seeing the world that way. And actually the Bible just reminds us and draws us all the time to look at the world in a different way. There's a completely different way of looking at the world. And that's what I'm hoping to unpack a bit today. If we can have the next slide. I think this tends to be, we look at the Bible and this tends to be our worldview. God created, Jesus died for us on a cross. We live in the world today where all of that is part of what we believe and what we think. And then we'll go to heaven one day, either when we die or when Jesus comes again. And we tend to have this worldview, which is all right, which is biblical, because God did create and Jesus did die for us and change everything. And we do live in the world today and we are looking forward to heaven. But the problem with this is worldview is that it's taking out the main factor. It is that God is still at work all the time in our world today. And if we just see the world in a secular view, where we have this belief of the past and belief for the future, but we take God out of the mix of our reality today, then what we are offering to the people around us isn't as exciting as the reality of a God who lives in us. And the worldview I'd like us to have, it's the next slide, is a mixture of, we live in a world where the Creator God is still creating, still acting, his hand is still upon the world, where the work of the cross, which is forgiveness and reconciliation with God, is still very active. People are being reconciled with God all the time. And where we can live out bits of heaven, bits of the kingdom of God can live into our world. And I think changing our worldview will make Christianity much more exciting, will make what we're doing as a church much more exciting. Because I think we've sort of gone towards two things as Christians, because it's hard to understand and believe that God is moving today, God is filling hearts, God is bringing people to himself. So we tend to go towards two kind of polar opposites. One is we become thinking that God is this sort of energy that is the same for all religions, where we can't really know him, and he's this sort of force over there, but like Star Wars, sorry, I'm going into movies again, but this sort of force over there, which is impersonal, which we can't really know, and we can't really understand, but he's there, so we believe there is something, but we don't think he's that relevant to us today. Or we go to the other extreme, where we become super conservative, evangelical, and sort of square in the sense that we think, if I haven't seen God do some of these things, then he can't do it. Then he doesn't do it anymore today. And we put God into a little square. We say, okay, God can't fill my heart anymore. God can't heal. God can't do all the things that he says he can do. And we put God in a little square. And the problem with both extremes is that we start believing in a God who isn't active in our life today. We start believing, having faith in a God who doesn't work on our behalf, who doesn't walk with us, who doesn't encourage us, who doesn't speak to us, who doesn't guide us, who can't actually change my neighbor who needs to know Jesus, who can't actually reach out to the person who is lonely and broken, doesn't believe in God, who can't actually touch their hearts and transform them. We start believing that, and that's when we stop expecting God to do what God says he does. And I think that's the main problem with the church today, is we've gone to those two extremes where God isn't, we don't believe God is active at all. And then how boring is Christianity without God in our midst? How much are we missing out of the life that Jesus has for us, the life that Jesus lived? Those disciples had a really, really exciting life. And we're missing out because we either don't believe God can be defined very much, or we go to the extreme where we've defined him so much that it's really scary to say he can do these things, but we don't see them, and we just box him somewhere. So let's see what we can find from the Bible today, because what I think the Bible is trying to do through his word, or God through his word, is trying to do, is he's trying to change our worldview. He's trying to say, I am active. There's a different way of seeing the world where I am part of it, and I want you to live in that reality. And that's what we call the kingdom of God, where Jesus is king. And that's what he invites us to be a part of. So let's have a look at Hebrews. So if you can have the next slide. Oh, well done. The next slide, Hebrews 11. I love Hebrews, and I love Hebrews 11. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I quite like to be able to choose my passages, so I can choose my favorite passages to preach on. And Hebrews 11 says, now faith. And the word faith, which is a Greek word called pistis, it's not only like a belief, it's not a set of beliefs. It's not faith in God, according to this word, is not only I believe there is a God. Faith is a commitment to that, it's a faithfulness. It's saying, I believe, but I also trust in that God. So it's more than just saying, I think there is a God, or like I've sort of intellectually decided there is a God, and therefore I've got faith in God. This word isn't that. This word is, I know there's a God, I believe in it, but I trust that God. I choose to follow that God. I choose to be in relationship with that God. I choose to commit myself to that God. So it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And think of the worldviews. The other two worldviews have no confidence in what they can't see. It's just, we if we can't see it, it's not there. But what God's inviting us is to in faith say, actually, what we can't see is there. There is a God who's acting. And we probably can't see it physically, but we can see signs of it everywhere. We can see signs of it, of people starting to join church out of nowhere, people searching for God out of nowhere, people who had really harsh mental issues or character issues, they draw to God and God changes them. And we can see that in ourselves as well. As we draw near to God, God changes us. So we even though we can't see it physically, we can see the signs of the kingdom everywhere. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. And if we go to the next slide, towards the end of that chapter, Hebrews 11 says, instead, it talks about all these heroes of faith and all the stuff they did, and everything they did was not really about what they did was because they trusted God. The whole kind of heroes is not because they were amazing or the smartest or the kindest or the ones who prayed the most. They were the people who trusted God, who had faith in God and said, okay, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and do what God calls me to do. And at the end it says, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one, because they trusted who God was. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What a beautiful thing. Wouldn't it be lovely to look at God and God say, I'm not ashamed of you? Isn't it lovely to have that picture of our Heavenly Father who loves us and says, I'm not ashamed of you? And he's not ashamed of us because we put our trust in him. And that is a beautiful thing to be able to long for and look for in our lives and for our future, to be able to meet God and God say, I'm not ashamed of you. I'm proud of you. I love you because you put your trust in me. So let's move to Mark 11. So next slide. One of the things I've noticed as I study the Bible is that people are mainly commended because of their faith, because of their trust in God. Not even commended about how much they pray or how many times they came on Sundays. They're not commended about any of that, even though those are good things, those are signs of faith. But they're commended by their faith, their trust in God, because it's recognizing, again, that God is working in our world and we have access to him. So faith means we trust in him above ourselves and we do something about it. And that's the great commendation of the whole of the Bible. And those are the times where God moves in power. That's where God is doing something beautiful, is when people have faith in him. And if you look across the whole of the Bible, it's a whole big story of faith, of people trusting God. And that's why God gives us his word, so that we can look back at the stories of faith and think, well, what's going to be my story of faith? What am I trusting God to do? How am I trusting in God with my life? So Mark, then this is Jesus talking. He says, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. And we all know that this, again, this passage talks about faith, and it uses the exact same word, which is pistis, which is a Greek word, which comes from trusting God, having a relationship with him, trusting in someone we know. And we all know that I haven't seen a mountain jump into the sea yet. And I'm not praying for that to happen. But the image God is giving is actually when we trust in him and when we're praying the prayers that he's inviting us to pray. So trust is also trusting in asking him to do what he wants to do. Then we'll see mountains move. Or then we'll see situations change. Then we see what's dead come to life, because we are partnering with what God wants to do. And the beauty of all of this, which I still kind of find it hard to understand, is God has chosen to partner with us. He has chosen to act on the earth with his people as we partner in prayer, as we partner in faith with him. He does some things outside of that, of course he does, because he's sovereign and he can do whatever he wants. But mainly God chooses to partner with people on earth who will trust him, and he'll say, okay, if you trust me, then this is what I want you to do, this is what I want you to pray for. And then he'll do those things when we trust him. And John Piper, a very famous preacher, said something like that. I understand that in prayer things happen that wouldn't happen if I hadn't prayed. Does that make sense? I understand that through prayer things will happen that wouldn't happen if I hadn't prayed. And that's invitation of God for us to have faith that he's working. He gives us the power to partner with him to build his kingdom, and he gives us a power to not partner with him and his kingdom won't be built. And that is really scary, isn't it? Because that gives us a big responsibility. But also it gives us a massive adventure to be part of, isn't it? Suddenly we have, what we do on earth is really worth doing. What we're doing is really significant because we are partnering with God. And it comes from believing that he can do things that we can't do and saying, okay, God, what is it that you want us to do? And he will do it. But he won't do it if we don't partner. And that's exciting and scary at the same time. But I find it really exciting because I think that in faith, if we trust God, if we trust that God is working in our midst, then we can say, God, what do you want us to do? And he'll show us what he wants us to do. And then we'd pray into that. And then he'd do it. And then we're like, wow, this is utterly amazing. And that's the exciting bit of being part of a church, is we are partnering with God, but a God who is active. Not a God who we'll meet in heaven, or a God who created the earth whenever he created it, or a God who died for us on a cross 2,000 years ago. Only, it's all of that, but we're partnering with a God who is here and now and wants to partner with us. And that's why life with him is so, so exciting. And Hebrews continue mentioning many, many more people who did all these kinds of things. I'm just going to read a little bit, but it's Hebrews 11, 32 says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Cephalas and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies." Hebrews is reminding us what God can do when we put our faith in him, when we partner with him, when we say yes to God. We're going to listen to you, we're going to believe that you can do stuff, and we're going to pray into it. It just reminds us, he's constantly reminding us of what God can do and wants to do with us. And I don't know about you, but I'm quite easily sort of become part of our secular world and have that worldview and have sort of no expectation that God will do something. Quite easily in my daily rhythm, I just get into that mindset. And then I go to the Bible and I'm reminded, oh, actually, I'm part of a different world. I'm part of a different reality where God does work in our midst. And he does sort of personally, and he does collectively as well. I remember 2 years ago, more or less, we had partnered with St. Barnabas in Epsom, and I had just come in as a new rector, and we had this new church, and there's lots of things to work on St. Paul's, and there's the new church, which was starting to be established. But we weren't sure what to do, and our curate was finishing his curacy, and we were a bit like, where are we going with this? And I had this sense of, I don't really know what we're going to do. But he said, okay, let's just pray, let's trust God, build this partner, let's see what happened. And slowly and gently, God sort of put things together, brought new people in, people with a gift that church needed, and a year later, we started a new service in that church. And as I've mentioned before, the church has grown to at least double the size. And we're seeing people come to faith quite often. People who just come to church out of nowhere, sit down, and as we share with them about the kingdom of God, they're like, yes, this is what I need. And they become Christians. I think a lot of it has to do with that partnership, that's saying, okay, God, you say you want us to build your kingdom. Here we are. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but here we are. What do you want to do? And he'll show us and he'll fill us. And that's exactly what I expect to happen in this place. And I have no idea how, and I don't know. I know James and Sam are great, so that's a good start. I know you are great, but it's not about their greatness. It's not about your greatness. It's not about my greatness. It's not even about your skills, my skills, James' skills. It's about what God wants to do and stepping out in faith and saying, okay, God, here we are. What do you want to do? There's so many people around here who need to hear the message of your gospel, of your freedom, of your forgiveness. What are we going to do together? And the exciting bit is it doesn't depend on your skills, it doesn't depend on my skills, it doesn't depend on James' skills. It depends on what God wants to do and our faith to say, okay, God, we're going to step into this. So the invitation of the whole of the Bible is to think differently, to see the world in a different way, and to recognize that what seems impossible, God can do. Because God is in the business of changing hearts. God longs to meet these people more than you and I do. God loves them more than any of us. God sees the person who lives around here who's an addict and needs hope and needs restoration. God sees a person who lives around here who's lonely and needs a community to love them. God sees the family and the children out here that actually if they don't grow up in a Christian environment, they're probably going to go into some stuff that's terrible for them. God sees all of that, and he sees us and says, okay, I can work with this family. I can work with this church. If they put my their faith in me, I'm going to bring people around to do my work for them. So that's what I'm really excited about. And just to close, we talk about faith, trusting God. And sometimes we think, well, but how do I build that? What can I do about this? How can I have more faith? Can we have more faith? Can we shape our worldviews? Of course we can. Of course we can build our faith. There's a story of a Canadian, it's a Canadian legend about a chief Eskimo, and his grandson comes up and says, Granddad, I've got a problem. I want to do what's good, what you're telling me to do, but I end up doing what's bad. He says, what can I do about this? And the granddad says, well, it's very simple, grandson. You've got two wolves inside of you. You've got a good wolf and you've got a bad wolf. And they're constantly fighting each other. And when the good wolf wins, you do good stuff. And if the bad wolf wins, you do bad stuff. And the grandchild thinking, okay, so who's going to win? And he says, whichever you feed the most. So if you want to have faith, feed yourself on faith. Listen to stories of faith. God is doing amazing things all across the world. The Bible is a story of faith. It continually opens our eyes to faith. Want to have faith? Feed on faith. Watch BBC News a bit less and a bit more faith. Do watch BBC News, but also look at what God is doing. Hear stories of what God is doing. Hear stories of what God has done in the past. I love studying the past and reading stories of what God has done in the past, because it builds me with faith to say, actually, if God did these amazing things 200 years ago, and we are half Methodist, what did God do 200 years ago? He was amazing with the Wesleyan revival. Read that, and your faith will rise and be like, okay, God can do this again today. So let's build our faith, trust God, and I'm sure he'll do some incredible things with us. Shall we pray? God, we remind ourselves by reading your word that you're an active God, that you are here today, that you can do the impossible, that you can change us, that you can fill us with your presence, that you can be with us, that you can touch the people around us with your love. And Lord, I just pray that as we sit for a minute, that we would sense your loving presence with us, that your Holy Spirit will stir in us something new, that you would give us the faith we need to build your kingdom, that you would give us the strength to feed ourselves on things that will feed our faith. Faith is the biggest resource in your kingdom, and Lord, we need more of it. So come and give us more faith, Lord. Amen.